Okay, we will start a brand new week. I can tell you right now that Friday's live show, I'm just going to get out in front of this. I'm going to be at the beach for Friday's live show. So I'm not going to be in the office.
Okay.
So we're going to have to depend on Wi-Fi and me handling technology when away from the office. So I'm going to go ahead and get out there in front of that. That's coming on Friday. Now that baseball season is over, what are the top five moments from this baseball season? What are your top five moments or storylines from another outstanding season from this baseball team? Yeah.
I didn't have time to prep for this.
I know. Yeah, we're just going to hit you with that right off.
Coming back in the regional has to be up there.
Yeah.
And the way the Texas game ended has to be up there. The first game one of Texas.
I got a lot. I've got
Chase. I mean, those are the first two that jump out.
I've got Chase Frelick with two separate five-game home run streaks.
Yeah.
Which hadn't happened to anybody anywhere else. No, nobody else has done
things.
That. Yeah.
I would say that's a moment.
Okay. Then we'll go things.
It's your list. It's your question. That kind of stuff didn't pop up. But yeah, great.
Now that that does pop up, it probably adds to your choices too.
I mean, I'm thinking a lot of just like pitching performances across the board.
Yeah.
I think the emergence of LJ Cormier was an absolute blast to watch over the last half of the season.
Yep. I have that as one of mine for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of emergence, nobody was talking about Brandon and Mason McCrane when the season started. And those two guys, true freshmen and redshirt freshmen, became everyday staples in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge part of the story. They're not hosting a super if those two guys don't step up the way they did.
Yeah, I mean, you say the same about Ethan Bingaman. I mean, expectations were high on him coming in, but
he did it. He lived up to it.
Right.
I think about Alvarez and Petrovic becoming Auburn's first pair of 10-game winners since 1999.
Wow.
I think about Alvarez and Marciano becoming the first pair of 100 strikeout guys maybe it's 11 or 12 years. I think maybe going back to 14, the last time Auburn had that.
Who did that? Mize and Burns?
No, it wasn't. No, they weren't around in 14. I think it was like Dylan Ortman and somebody else in 14.
Okay.
So, like, there are a lot of first times since a while ago's on this team. And I look all the way back. I think sometimes we tend to wash early season things away. This team's gone to Arlington and gone 3-0 and picked up ranked wins in February back-to-back years. That was a big moment for this team early on with so many young players to go 3-0 and beat Florida State and Louisville the way they did.
Yeah, in the context of that, right, we were all kind of doubting this team because of what happened against Cincinnati.
Yep.
And you saw them respond. You say, okay, maybe we're going to be fine. Maybe we're going to be fine.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of those little storylines throughout the course of the year. Chris Rembert ended the season, might have ended his Auburn career, but he ended the season on a 19-game hitting streak.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I mean, that doesn't happen every day. So I think there's a lot of stuff as we kind of say thank you to baseball for getting us to this point in the year, for giving a whole lot of really good memories throughout this year. It's okay
But Brad, so many people are saying that baseball is a failure and that Butch Thompson's a failure and this team's a bunch of failures. That's I'm seeing that all over the place. What do you say about that?
I say it's okay to be disappointed that Auburn didn't win a super regional that it was favored to win. It's okay to be disappointed with that and also acknowledge that there were way more peaks than valleys.
That's it.
This year.
Yep.
And when you follow, you know, if you followed the team from start to finish, there were a lot more highs than there were lows. Now, if you came in at the end and you were really only interested in the regional and the super regional, yeah, that ended poorly. That's disappointing. There's no question.
Yeah.
But to ignore the other stuff is kind of like to ignore the disappointing ending would be a little dishonest. To ignore all the other good stuff would be a little dishonest too. So, and we look up from all that, Zach, and we got Alex Golish tweeting out bat signals over the weekend. And we're less than 90 days away from kickoff as we sit here today. We're a college football season away from college football season.
Yeah. No, and I want to come on here and talk about Reed Ramsire, but we don't know the timing of, you know, if there's an announcement or not. So, yeah. But if slash when that happens,
yeah,
Auburn gets a really, really good player.
Yeah. Yeah. We could very well have a reaction show in store tomorrow for Village Vice. And he would be like what, the fourth offensive lineman in the class?
Yeah, so he would join Rance Brown,
yep.
Leighton Von Brandt, and Jalen Moore. What flavor Celsius is that?
Arctic Vibe.
Arctic Vibe.
Arctic Vibe, yeah. It's, you know, it's that. Now officially summer now, so I'm going with the Arctic Vibe. Need to cool off a little bit.
All right.
Need to cool off. What's Auburn's best recent offensive lineman signing class?
Let's look. Just out of high school, right?
Yeah. Yeah, not a portal class, but a high school signing class. This is like example number two of what I should have hit you with before we started the show.
Let's just go in order. The last year, Zierer, Pritchett.
Yep.
Mathis.
Okay.
McWhorter. Which that one could age well.
Yeah.
That one actually could age well.
I'm a big fan of Bear McWhorter and his upside.
Yeah.
I think we covered this. I interviewed him back in December.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he's such a nice guy. And then you ask about his football mentality. He's like, no, I just want to rip the guy's head off. He's like, I didn't expect that from such a mild-mannered young man.
And 25, Brody Scholl, Ty Buster, Cale Ellis, Jacoby Ward.
Okay. Buster could be he could be a factor. Ellis
yeah. I think you'll probably get two starters out of that. I mean,
yeah.
Either Buster or Ward, I don't know if they'll both start. And then Cale will start after this season. 2024, DeAndre Carter and Favor Edwin.
Okay.
And then Seth Wilford joined out of JUCO. So not that one.
Mm-mm.
2023. So this is the class where like Freeze came in and like added half the class in like 2 weeks. It was electric.
Yeah.
Which had Connor Liu, too tall out of JUCO. I don't know if you want to count him. Tyler Johnson, who was always so close. Then Braden Joyner, who.
Yeah, left.
That was an interesting
started a game or two.
Departure story. 2022, EJ Harris. I don't even remember him.
Okay.
That's it.
That was it? We signed one offensive lineman in 22?
That's all I see.
Jeez almighty.
This is potato famine stuff.
Yeah, no,
2021.
Lord.
Colby Smith, I was really high on him. That was like a big deal when we got him.
Same. I remember him. He was huge.
Garner Langlow, forgot about him. I was really high on him too. So those didn't work out.
No.
Potato famine, man. These classes. Yikes.
Well, rough.
2020.
Okay.
So this is Tank's class.
Uh-huh. But this is where Gus didn't sign a lot of offensive linemen late.
Killian Zierer, that's fun.
Yeah.
And Brendan Coffey.
The JUCO guy.
And Tate Johnson. And Jeremiah Wright. That was actually decent.
That was a decent class. You got some mileage out of that class.
Yeah. So 2020 is our best one so far.
Okay. So like at at most, you got to go back 6 years to find a class potentially as good as the one.
Yeah, 19 had Keandre Jones in it. Justin Osborne at tackle. I don't even remember him.
Yeah, he was from the West Coast somewhere, I think, wasn't he?
Or from out west? I don't care enough to go back and look.
Right, okay.
2018 was a Joey Gatewood class.
Yeah. Boy, the last
Cam 10 Stutz.
Years, the last 10 years of recruiting classes, you go back in those cold case files.
Jahlil Irvin, goodness gracious.
Scary Gus, stuff.
Like, we just could not recruit O-line.
No, he couldn't.
It's insane.
And here was the problem. The problem was Greg Robinson. Greg Robinson got to the NFL, and the NFL considered him a bust. He was the best lineman on the 2013 team and went number two overall, and the NFL considered him a bust, and that hurt. Because all those other schools recruiting against Auburn went to those big offensive linemen and said, this doesn't get you ready for the NFL. Look, there's an example. Yeah. No team's going to take you because you're from that system. Now, Brayden
2017
Smith,
had Calvin Ashley, who was, you know, five-star offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Nick Broms and Austin Troxell.
Yeah.
They got some starters out of that one.
Sure. Brayden Smith is Brayden Smith, long-time NFL guy. Brayden Smith, though, was going to be a long-time NFL guy wherever he went. He could have gone to Ypsilanti State.
I'm looking. So 2016, you know, we had the ninth class.
Yeah.
And we had one offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Like, we just did that like every year.
Yeah.
And it was Brodarius Ham.
Bro Ham.
When's the last time you thought about Brodarius Ham before just now?
It's been about 6 or 7 years. Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, that was it.
2015, we had Prince Tega, but he was recruited as a defensive end.
Yep. Yeah, kind of backed into that one.
Caleb Kim, Markwell Harrell.
Markwell was
sharp.
Markwell had a pretty good little mean streak now. He was.
Mike Horton.
Yeah.
We just didn't recruit linemen, man. It's crazy.
Top tier five-star offensive linemen. And you're still trying to work back to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not even as good as this class is. It doesn't have there's not a top three prospect in the country at that position.
I mean, okay, so Brayden Smith's class in 2014, we had the sixth ranked class in the country, and he was the only offensive lineman.
So for all
the people that are like rankings, you know, we're not ranked high enough. Like, this is the kind of stuff that you got to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. The actual building blocks of your successful teams.
So to answer your question, I don't know. The 2019 one wasn't bad, but I don't know.
Well, and it also it brings some context to when you're wondering why the offense hasn't seemed to click for years now and across multiple head coaches.
Yeah.
Look at your classes. You got to bring in 4, 5, 6 offensive linemen. They don't have to be all 4 and 5 star guys, but you got to bring in bodies at that position.
And we're doing it. We're doing it.
They are doing it. No question. So 89 days away from football season and kind of that official summer's here, football countdown, all of that is here. And there was a big ruling today in a court in Lubbock County, Texas. And it will dominate the conversation today. More on that after we tell you about our friends at Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. Beat the heat. The heat is almost here. It's coming.
Beat the heat.
Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. Go in and mention Beat the Heat. You got to mention it. In fact, just walk in the door and just start saying, hey, Beat the Heat. Beat the Heat. Say, sir, calm down. Or ma'am, calm down. Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika will give you a free performance evaluation on your AC system, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis. And then if anything does need to be repaired, they'll give you $50 off any repair over $300, all because you watch or listen to The Barn. So mention The Barn, mention Village Vice when you go see our friends at Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. They're open early, too. They're open at 7 o'clock so that you can go in, get done what you need to get done, get to work. We appreciate Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika and their partnership here with Village Vice. So,
also want to encourage folks to become a member of the Barn on YouTube. We had over 100 folks sign up this weekend. It's a blast. You get access to the Village Vice post show Monday through Thursday. You get access to Afternoon Delight, which is a show with Kyle and Ben every afternoon. You get access to Film Breakdowns, which with the additions we're expecting to the recruiting class this weekend, you will want that. Yep. And working on more things coming in the very near future. So how you join, make sure you're subscribed to the channel. And then that subscribe button turns into a join button and you can join that way. The lowest tier gives you access to all that. If you want to pay a little bit more a month and get access to the message board, you hit the message board option and Kyle will reach out with how to add you to all that. So there you go.
Yeah. Membership is what, $5 a month. That's the,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's, there you go. And I think we're putting up 20 or 30 videos a month for that $5 a month. So we appreciate that very much. So Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby has been granted a preliminary injunction against the NCAA and is eligible for the 2026 season. Now, if you haven't been following this story, Sorsby's a quarterback who transferred from Cincinnati. He's going to get paid about $5 million this year, according to reports. And when he was at Indiana as a backup quarterback, placed 40-some-odd bets on Indiana games as an Indiana quarterback. He also used accounts that were listed to family members to place about $9,000 in other bets. And the NCAA said, hey, so the thing is, you can't do that. That's really that's a huge violation of rules. And we're cracking down on it. Like, it's the thing that we as the NCAA are cracking down on the most. We've lost all of our power over NIL and money. Like, all the money going to players now to play the game, we have no control over that anymore. None whatsoever. We've lost it because we didn't do it the right way in the first place. So now we've lost all power over it. The thing we have power over is cracking down on gambling. And, buddy, this is as clear a violation as we can get. We have geo-tracking on these apps. Like, they know when people are placing bets, even under other names.
Mm-hmm.
We got you. You can't play. And a judge in Lubbock County, Texas, passed an injunction against the NCAA to render their opinion null and void, and Sorsby can play this year. So the NCAA, the governing body of the sport, there is none. We all used to cower. We all used to shake. We all used to stop what we were doing if we even heard the letters NCAA. And now a judge in Lubbock County, Texas.
Is that your Lubbock accent?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, do it again.
Lubbock County, Texas.
Yeah.
Just struck down the NCAA and said, no, sir, you don't mess with Texas.
Yeah, hey, NCAA, stay out of Lubbock. Hit me with one of those.
Hey, NCAA, stay out of Lubbock.
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
That's pretty good.
Thanks. Hey.
This is where, we need a commissioner. And not by the conferences, but by the governing body. Because, look, this would make sense for the Big 12 commissioner to say, no, guys, no, he can't play.
Yeah. Right.
But there is Big 12 commissioner clearer. Needs Texas Tech to be good. So he's not why would he do that? Why would he do that?
Right. What's the benefit of enforcement? What's the benefit of enforcement? These aren't parents trying to turn kids into better people. You know, they're not authority figures even trying to develop the internal effects of discipline or right. morality or ethics or anything like that. This is such a results-based industry everywhere. Yeah, they need them to be good.
That's correct.
And Texas Tech is spending freely like everybody else is. It's why, and it wasn't $9,000, by the way. It was $90,000 that he spent elsewhere.
According to court documents. I don't know if the amount matters, right? Like, you either do something, it's either wrong or it's not. Like, I think it's wrong. Is there wrong at $100 and wrong at $100,000? Or, like, is there a dollar amount where it becomes wrong? I don't know if that matters.
The line in the On3 story, the quarterback continued to gamble after transferring from Cincinnati to Texas Tech in December 2025. So he gambled at Indiana. He gambled at Cincinnati. He continued to gamble at Texas Tech. And this is not a, like, I'm trying to take down a player or Texas Tech. So I don't care. I don't care about Texas Tech as a program unless Auburn plays them. This is the NCAA. This is now looking at what the governing body of college athletics used to be. You older fans, you remember. You remember if you heard the letters NCAA and it was a black cloud. It's, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, my God.
I'm thinking, like, back to 2010 where the NCAA was all over us and all over Cam. And it's, oh, no.
Yeah.
The NCAA is going to ruin everything.
Yeah. You got to bend over backwards for them. I mean, it's a months long game of Twister, which, by the way, they found nothing at Auburn, by the way, and they cleared
That's
Auburn
correct.
Even after all of that. Not so anybody let you remember it, but the result of all that. And now you just need a judge. That's it. You need a judge a few miles from campus. Find one. Keep asking. Keep digging until you find one. And you can do anything. Want to play a player that went to the NBA and came back? Find a judge. Want to get a guy who's been gambling everywhere he's been, even with on his own team? Find a judge.
Right.
A judge, by the way, a judge who listens to the facts of the case and clearly sees what is.
Yeah, an arbiter of the law.
An arbiter of the law who looks at the NCAA rules and says, you know what, I'm going to file an injunction against that NCAA. We got to get this kid on the field. He deserves to. You know what? If he ain't allowed to play.
Can I be honest about something? Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong. It feels weird to me that college football is worth a judge's time. And, like, with what our government has devoted, like, we've got all these, like, congressmen and senators, like, sitting in these big meetings with Nick here, like, listening to Nick Saban talk. And I'm like, don't you have, like, real stuff to do?
Yeah.
Like, why is this needed for this?
Yeah.
It's so bizarre to me.
How many times have you thought to yourself, well, I tell you who I wish would get involved in fill in the blank, Congress. They're going to fix it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of issues. I know it'll make it better.
Congress. Yeah. I find it fun. Some of this stuff is just so, it's so transparent and laughable.
This is the stuff that really, like, I mean, you've talked about it and kind of hinted at, like, we could be going this direction of breaking out. Like, this is the kind of stuff that I think really strengthens that argument.
Yeah, for sure. Texas Tech recommended a 2-game suspension for Sorsby, stating that if the NCAA pursues the max penalty, quote, future athletes will be disincentivized from seeking the help they desperately need. This is unbelievable legal jargon. So he entered a facility for gambling addiction, gambling help. But I'll tell you what, if he has to pay the full consequences, other players in the future may not seek the help they need. No, but you know what they might not do? Bet on their own team in the first place, Zach.
You think he's good at gambling?
It's a good question.
You think he was good at it?
That's a good question. I don't know. We don't know whether he won or he lost the bets.
I think when people get exposed like this, their bets should become public.
Just so they could face the extra ridicule?
Be like, you took the over on what?
Meanwhile, Alabama State had like four players get popped for throwing basketball games 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting paid $300 a game, $500 a game, something like that. They got popped for throwing a game for $300. If you're going to throw a game, $300, that's it? That's a low bar. That's a low ante to get into the game.
Yeah. Yeah, the people paying you to do that are making a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just, the whole thing to me is wild. This is a fever dream that we're in right now. The NCAA is very clear. The thing they're most focused on right now, since they don't have any power anywhere else, just got thrown out the window by a judge in Lubbock County, Texas.
I just, you know, the folks at the NCAA, like when they see that report, it's like, man, we can't catch a break. Like, what do we do? What do we do?
It's like if you're co-parenting and you got a kid who comes to you and like, no, my rule very clearly is you can't go. Your curfew is 10 o'clock and that's the rule. And they just go to the other parent at the other house. And you're like, nah, I'm just going to stay out till 12 because the other parent said it's fine. Okay, then. I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
You can't do anything.
Yeah.
So
here's what you can do. Watching, yeah. Here's what you can do. Yes. You can come hang out with us more in the Village Vice post show. Just become a member and come hang out.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, 4 days this week, 4 days every week, Monday through Thursday. We do the post show
for
you.
That's right. So that's next. That does it for today's edition of Village Vice.
Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. However you take in the show, remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.